Over the past 10 weeks, as you know, we have been dealing with the subject of knowing God. You remember we began our study by noting just how very important it is that we know God. And then we dealt with 9 of the attributes of our God. 9 attributes that all of us need to be aware of and that all of us need to know. Well, now as we end the series this morning, I want us to notice a very important question. And the question is simply this: why has God, the creator of all things, the one who sits in the heavens and rules over all things, the one who all men have sinned against by breaking his law and offending his holiness, why would God even bother to reveal himself to us in this book that we call the Bible? And the answer to the question is simply because of the desire of our God. The desire of our God. You see, God has revealed himself because his desire is not simply to satisfy our human curiosity about him, but rather his desire is that all men might know him personally. That all men might know him personally. And by the way, that has always been God's desire. It's always been God's desire. It was even true back in the days of the Old Testament. Let me give you a couple of examples to notice with me. First of all, notice the testimony of David. David wrote in chapter 67, verse 2, that thy way, talking about God's way, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Not only do we see the testimony of David, notice also the testimony of King Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 43, King Solomon, in his dedication prayer for the temple, said that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel. So there's the testimony of David, the testimony of Solomon. Then notice the testimony of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah said in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 19, he said that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And then, of course, there is the testimony of the Lord God himself. Listen to what the Lord God himself said in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 21 and verse 22. The Lord God said, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. And then notice the invitation that he gives. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And so throughout the Old Testament, it's very easy and very clear to see that the Lord God's desire was that all nations might know him. And therefore Israel was chosen as his representative nation. Israel was chosen as a nation that would represent this true and living God to all the nations of the world. In fact, that's why the Lord God said concerning the nation of Israel, notice in Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 6, God said, ye, talking to the nation of Israel, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. But as you know from reading your Bible, Israel sadly failed in her mission. Instead of drawing the nations of the world to the Lord God, the nations of the world actually drew Israel away from the Lord God. And therefore, as a result, Israel has been temporarily set aside as God's representative, and that job has now been entrusted to the church. It's been entrusted to us. That is why just before he ascended back into heaven, the Lord Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The bottom line that I want us to understand this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is simply that our God has revealed Himself to us. He has made known to us His wonderful attributes so that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, might fulfill His desire to make Him known in all the world. However, I'm afraid that many times as Christians, and I'm talking about us, many times as Christians, we raise up walls. We raise up boundaries. We raise up barriers around our lives, and we come to this determination that there are some people whom we will tell about our God, but there are some we will not tell. We raise up these barriers and we determine that there are some people we will tell about the love of Christ. And there are some we will refuse to tell. There are some that we will love, some we will not love. Some we will show the way of salvation, and to some we will say nothing. But as we consider the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to notice that He had no boundaries. He had no boundaries. He had no borders in His life that would hinder Him from fulfilling the great desire of our Heavenly Father, a desire that was clearly stated in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10 when He said, "The Son of Man is come." Here's His mission statement. "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, the thing I want us to notice this morning is simply this. If we are going to be representatives for our Heavenly Father, as He has called us to be, then we need to follow the example of our Savior. We need to follow the example of our Savior and to see His example. I want us to notice the encounter that the Lord Jesus had with a certain Samaritan woman. The story of that encounter begins, of course, in the Gospel of John chapter 4. I hope you'll turn there in your Bibles with me and follow along as we read John chapter 4, verse 3 down to verse number 6. The Bible says that He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And you're familiar with the story. As the Lord Jesus was sitting by that well, resting, weary from the journey that they had been making, while His disciples were in town buying food, a certain woman came to that well to draw water. And there the Lord Jesus then engaged her in a conversation about water. He engages her in a conversation about water. It went something like this. First of all, he asked her for a drink of water, and she responded suspiciously. He then offered her a drink of living water, and she responded doubtfully. And then she was offered again a drink of living water, and she responded hopefully. And when we come to the end of the story, not only had this woman received that living water of salvation that only God can give, but she brought many others to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they too might be saved. Now, as we consider this very familiar story together, the thing I want us to notice is that there were actually four divides. There were four divides that the Lord Jesus was willing to cross over. Four divides that He was willing to cross over in order to win that woman to Himself. Four divides He was willing to cross over in order to give to that woman the salvation that she so desperately needed. And so as we consider the four divides, I want us to notice, number one, there was the racial divide. The racial divide. In John chapter 4, notice in verse number 7 and then also in verse 9, The Bible says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And then in verse number 9, the Bible says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We know from our study of Bible history, we know how that the Jews hated the Samaritans. And by the way, the feeling was totally mutual. The Samaritans were not fond of the Jews either. It all started back in 721 BC when the Lord God, because of Israel's sin and because of her idolatry, the Lord God sent the Assyrians to the northern kingdom of Israel to take them into captivity. The choice citizens, those who were high in authority and high in power, the choice citizens were taken to the land of Assyria. And then Gentiles from various nations, and those nations are actually identified for us in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. These Gentiles from various nations were brought in and they were settled in Israel's land. Before long, those Israelites who were left in the land began to intermarry with the foreigners, and they began to worship the pagan gods that those foreigners had brought with them. And as a result of this, in the eyes of the pure-blooded Jews of the southern kingdom, the pure-blooded Jews of Judea, the Samaritans were considered to be unclean apostates and impure half-breeds. That's why when the Jews wanted to insult the Lord Jesus, it's interesting the term that they used. It was a term that in the Jewish mind was a derogatory term. They called him, in John chapter 8, verse 48, they called him a Samaritan. They called him a Samaritan. And yet, the Lord Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish teacher, said, John chapter 4, verse 4, said that he must needs go through Samaria. And the reason, I believe, was simply because he understood that there was one of those, what we like to call, divine appointments that was waiting for him in that place. And because the Lord Jesus was willing to cross over that racial divide, he was willing to cross over the racial divide. When he saw that woman at the well of Sychar, he did not see a Jewish woman, and he did not see a Samaritan woman. He simply saw a woman. A woman who needed the salvation that only he would be able to provide for her. As we represent God in our world today, I hope that we will completely understand, that we will completely understand that God cares nothing about the color of a person's skin. And God cares nothing about the language that a person speaks. And God cares nothing about the passport that a person carries. And therefore, to represent our God well, to represent him as he has commanded us and called us to do, then we must see all men and we must see all women as an eternal soul that God loves, an eternal soul for whom Jesus Christ died. And we must never allow our prejudices. We must never allow our prejudices to hinder us from telling others about our Savior, telling others the wonderful story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, he was willing to cross over the racial divide. But then I want you to notice, secondly, not only did he cross the racial divide, number two, he crossed the social divide. He crossed the social divide. The Bible says in verse number 7 of John chapter 4, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, I want you to understand this morning that there was nothing in the law of Moses that was given at Mount Sinai. There was nothing in the law of Moses that prevented men and women from conversing with one another. And yet the society in the days of the Lord Jesus, because of the many man-made traditions that had been added to God's law, was very different. It was very different in Jesus' day than it was in the days of the Old Testament. The social order was very different. And therefore, in the days of the Lord Jesus, because of these man-made traditions that had been added to the laws of God, a devout Jew, and especially a rabbi, was not permitted to talk to a woman in public. I've even read that in the Jewish Talmud, the sect of the Pharisees was divided into seven different branches. And one of the branches of the Pharisees not only refused to talk to a woman in public, they would cover their eyes and refuse to look at them. And it has been noted by some that these Pharisees actually became known as the bruised and bleeding Pharisees, because when they covered their eyes, they kept running into buildings and tripping over stones. So it's no wonder that when the Lord Jesus began to speak to this woman, he begins to speak to this woman, it's no wonder that she asked the question in verse number 9, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" This woman was totally surprised that the Lord Jesus would even speak to her. She was totally surprised that the Lord Jesus would even try to communicate with her. And when the Lord Jesus went to Samaria and he sat down by the well at Sychar and he began to talk to that woman about the living water of salvation, he had to cross over, first of all, the racial divide. And then he had to cross over the social divide. But then I want you to notice number 3. He also had to cross over the moral divide. The moral divide. As we read the account here in John chapter 4, we very quickly pick up on the fact that this woman was not well thought of in the town of Sychar. She was not well thought of. In fact, this woman was a woman who was known. She was known for her immorality. You see, the custom was that women would come to the well to draw water in the early morning or in the evening time. They would never come to draw water during the heat of the day. But these gatherings at the well by the women, not only was this a time to draw water, it was also a time for the women to socialize. We all know how women love to talk. And so this was a time when they would socialize and they would talk with one another about what all was going on. But this particular woman, she did not come when all of the others came. This particular woman came at an unusual time. In fact, the Bible tells us in verse number 6, she came at the sixth hour. In other words, it was noontime. It was when the sun was burning down the hottest. And that's when she came to the well. It was an unusual time, and not only did she come at an unusual time, she came in an unusual way. She came alone. She came alone. But as she came to the well, she saw a man who was sitting there. It was not long before she discovered that even though he was a total stranger to her, he was one that she had never seen before at all, yet she suddenly discovered that he knew everything about her. He knew everything about her. In fact, notice what the Lord Jesus said in verse 16 and verse number 18. The Lord Jesus said, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband." Verse 18. "For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." The Lord Jesus knew everything about this woman. He knew everything about her. The dirtiest secrets of her immoral lifestyle, they were all known to him. They were all known to him. And yet here the Son of God, in all of his holiness, in all of his righteousness, in all of his purity, sat beside that well and talked with this woman as though he was having a conversation with a dear friend. You need to remember, it was the Lord Jesus who reached out physically with love. It was the Lord Jesus who reached out physically with compassion and touched a man whose body was literally being eaten away with the terrible disease of leprosy. And yet Jesus was willing to touch him. And in the very same way, the Lord Jesus here reached out spiritually. Reached out spiritually to a woman who desperately needed the cleansing and the forgiveness that only he could provide. That's why the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, verse number 17, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." If you've never sinned, you don't need a Savior. But if you have sinned, and we all have, then we need to understand we are the reason why Christ came. He came to call sinners like us to repentance. He came to call us to salvation. And so therefore it makes no difference how sinful or how wicked or how depraved a person may be. God knows all about it. We can't hide anything from Him. And He knows all about it, and yet He loves us. And He is willing. He is willing to reach out to us and graciously offer to every one of us the gift of His salvation. There was a racial divide, a social divide, a moral divide. But then I want you to notice number four, there was the religious divide. The religious divide. There's an old saying that I remember hearing many times when I was growing up. It went something like this. It said, "Never discuss politics or religion in polite company." Never discuss politics or religion in polite company. And yet the Lord Jesus was never shy. And He was never afraid to deal with such questions. He never was bothered by that. In fact, notice in our text that as soon as that woman realized that the Lord Jesus knew all about her sin, she was convinced that He must be a prophet because He knew things about her nobody else knew. And she's convinced that He must be a prophet. And so therefore she asked a question, and it was a religious question. And the question was concerning the right place of worship. Where is it? Is the right place in Samaria, or is it in Jerusalem? Now, if you stop and think about it, that was actually an explosive question. It was an explosive question. But instead of allowing himself to be dragged into a religious debate, instead of allowing himself to be dragged into a religious argument, the Lord Jesus made a very simple and yet a very defining statement. In John chapter 4, verse 22, here's what he said. "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." You see, the Samaritans worshiped a God that they did not really know. They worshiped a God they did not really know, because even though they believed the writings of Moses, they accepted the Pentateuch, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they accepted that, yet the Samaritans had chosen to reject all of the other Old Testament writings. They rejected the writings of the psalmist and the prophets, and they did not accept any of that. And so therefore, because this woman had rejected a full revelation of the Lord God that the Lord God had given, her religion could not satisfy her spiritual thirst. You know, there are many people like that today. Because they ignore the Word of God, they ignore what God has said in the Bible and how God has revealed Himself. Because many people reject that, they have their own religion. And yet there's no real satisfaction there. There's nothing there that really satisfies that empty place in their heart and satisfies the spiritual thirst that they have. And so this woman, because that was certainly her condition, she gave the only response that she could possibly give. Notice it in verse 25. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. In other words, because this woman believed the first five books of the Bible, she believed the writings of Moses, then she naturally believed the prophecy that Moses had given back in Deuteronomy chapter number 18 and verse number 15, when he said, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken." And so this woman says, I know the Messiah is coming. I know he's going to come. It's been prophesied by Moses. And I know he's coming. The Messiah will come. And then the Lord Jesus made a most amazing statement, almost like a bombshell. Notice what he said in verse number 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I that speak unto thee. I'm the one you've been looking for. I'm the one you've been waiting for. As we said before, this woman was convinced. She was convinced of the message that she heard. Her spiritual thirst has now been satisfied. And she immediately began to tell everyone she knew about the Savior that she had met. But again, it was all possible. It was all possible because the Lord Jesus was willing to boldly step over that racial divide. He was willing to boldly step over the social divide, the moral divide. And he was boldly willing to step over the religious divide. Folks, if we are going to be effective, if we're going to be effective in representing our God to a lost and a dying world as he has commanded us to do, and as he desires for us to do, then we as a church need to pray earnestly. Like we see there in Acts chapter 5 or chapter 4, verse 29, we need to pray earnestly that we, with all boldness, will cross over those divides and proclaim the word of God to all men. I wonder this morning, have you seen yourself in this story? Perhaps you're like that woman who came to the well. You have all kinds of religious ideas and religious thoughts, and yet the reality is there's an emptiness in your heart. There's an emptiness in your soul because you've never tasted of the water of life that only Jesus Christ can give. If that's your condition today, I pray that like this woman, that the Holy Spirit of God would open your eyes, that you would recognize exactly who Jesus Christ is, and that you would call on him to be your Savior. Maybe this morning, as a believer in Christ, we realize that there are some areas in our life that we have been unwilling to go as a witness and as a representative for our Savior. I pray this morning that God would help each one of us to pray earnestly that he would give to us that boldness that we need, that we might be effectively sharing the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came, he died for the sins of the world, was buried, and he arose again on the third day, so that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, they might have life, life eternal. Our Heavenly Father, we...